Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everyone, and welcome to the Empowerment Place. This is your host, Prophet Valerie Burrell, and I'm joined with my husband, Elder Benny. We are grateful and thankful to be on the air with you this evening after spending a tremendous weekend with some wonderful kingdom leaders in Morganton, North Carolina, at Antioch Body of Christ Ministries, where Apostle Brenda Pagan and her husband hosted a wonderful marriage retreat entitled With This Ring. And it's from that same theme that my husband and I are coming before you tonight. As February is known by many to be the month of love, we wanted to share with those of you who are married and those of you who may be considering marriage the importance of the symbol of marriage, the importance of understanding your vows, the importance of being prepared. Marriage is not anything that we're to enter into lightly. But it is to be entered with wise counsel. It is to be entered with full guarding God's purpose for your union. And so tonight, this evening, I want to talk a little bit about with this ring. Husband, can you open us in prayer?
Father, we thank you for just giving us another opportunity to come forth and bring forth some wisdom keys that may assist your people in their relationships and having them to understand better what you would have them to do. Father, as we embark on this occasion to just spread some knowledge of how relationships should look and what they should look like, we thank you. We will continue to just move in the way you would have us to move. Father, we thank you for just keep on leading us, guiding us, and directing us in the way that we should go and how to build relationships in the kingdom of God. And we just thank and praise you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Amen. So for those of you who have been married, you're familiar. And even for those who have not been married, you've been to weddings and you hear the officiant share with the couple about their vows. And sometimes it's, you know, the traditional, and then sometimes the couple takes the time to write out their own thoughts about their intent for their spouse. They don't always, in my opinion, when you let them write their own vows, they don't always integrate God in the process. But we have to understand that God is first and foremost in a true marriage. We have been that marriage is sometimes an act of convenience. It's about two people merging that have a net worth and together they can do more. It may be about because you look good and I look good. If we get together, we can make pretty babies. I mean, there are a lot of things that we've been told about understanding the need to be together. But the Word of God tells us that what God joins together, let no man put asunder, let no one put asunder, which means that when we enter into the covenant, because marriage is a covenant, not just a covenant, but a commitment first to God and then to your husband or your wife. Okay, God, I'm not. Okay, whatever you say, God. Yes, Lord. Okay. Yes. So let's look at this with this ring. For those of you who aren't married, I'm sure that you might anticipate for you ladies the day that wonderful right man. Hear what I said, that wonderful right man, that wonderful God man comes before you with the box. And he gets down on one knee and he says, "Will you marry me?" And depending on the type of woman you are, you look at the ring and you say, "Oh, that's the right grade diamond. It's the right carat size. It's the right metal. Yes, I'll marry you." That's for the vain one. But for that woman who understands what's about to take place and the path that she's about to embark upon with that right God man, that question and that promise, that ring of engagement, that ring of expectation is presented to you. And so you go through the process and you come to your wedding day. And so again, with the vows that are spoken, the officiant would say, "May I have the rings?" And so you take the rings. And they might say, "This ring is a symbol of perfect love. First, the perfect love that God gives to each of us who receives his son Jesus as Lord and Savior. It is a symbol that speaks of the unbroken union between a man and a woman as they come together as one. This ring is symbolic of two individuals consenting and having been witnessed by God and the people in attendance that they're making a vow. Now, too often, we enter into marriage forgetting that we've made a promise. We forget. We think that it's just between me and my husband. And so when my husband gets on my nerves, I'm speaking from the woman's perspective, I deal with it according to what my emotions are about. But then I'm reminded that because I made a covenant and a commitment to God before witnesses that I'm saying I do in sickness and health, forsaking all others, for richer, for poorer, all those things until death do us part, that there's some accountability with receiving that ring. With that ring, with this ring, there's going to come a degree of respect. There's going to be a need for proper communication. There's going to be a need for us overcoming our fears. There's going to be a need that when worry comes, we have to rely on God for answers to the questions that we can't answer. With this ring, it's a process. It's just the beginning process. Honey?
As we, you know, when we look at, when we're still talking about the covenant, and we also can look at the other side. Of course, I'm not a lawyer, so I wouldn't be giving legal advice. But we look at covenant versus contract. And a covenant is based on trust. And a contract is based on distrust. So we start looking at things like those, covenant, and then we look at contract. Trust and distrust. And so, and then being engaged is setting the stage for the person to to build trust. And a covenant is based on unlimited responsibility. And so we need to see those things. In the contract, you're looking at, again, I'm not an attorney, but you're looking at liabilities and things like that. So we have to make sure that we understand what we're getting into. And of course, many can say, I didn't quite understand it that way, that I engaged in what I thought was covenant, whereas I was actually involved in a contract. And so relationships are built on trust, and godly relationships are definitely built on trust. So we those are the things that we need to think about when we get involved in godly relationships.
That's good. And that makes me feel too. So many people, when they get engaged and they're preparing for marriage, lawyers do get involved, and you have a lot of people who want a prenup agreement. That prenup agreement is already saying, I'm contracting with you that I don't know that this really going to last, but should it fail, these are some stipulations. That prenup, I don't care how wealthy you are. If you love me, if you are marrying me according to what God has led you to, and we are doing this because God said so, I don't care anything about a prenup, but don't bring me one because I'm not going to sign it. Because to me, you're already saying, I'm not expecting this to work. I'm just saying you can only get this piece of what I am and who I am and how much financial gain you can get from this. And that's not what marriage is about. That's not what the presenting of the ring is about. That does not speak to the symbol of the love that we should have for one another when we're coming together as man and wife. And so when we look at this, when we look at building the relationship, we look at a couple first. C in couple stands for closeness. Closeness. Now, a lot of times, women more than men want to be close, always close. You know, we like to snuggle. We like to, again, usually it's more women than men, but there are some men that like the comfort of being close to the one that they love. We have to understand that if you're the one that's not touchy-feely, you got to get out of that, because this is not about you. This is about you sharing, you understanding that you're in the process of a covenant. A commitment, not a contract, that you're in a process of being empowered by love, that you're ready to make a vow. Mm-hmm. The O in couple stands for openness. With this ring comes conversations where nothing is hidden. There are no more secrets. Nothing hidden anymore. You've got to be open. Even if it's uncomfortable sometimes, you've got to be open and you've got to tell the truth. And you've got to be willing sometimes for that truth to sting, because we don't always want to hear what the other person has to say, especially if it's speaking to something that we're inadequate about or something that we are a little biased about. We have to trust each other and love each other enough to be open. And after we're open, we are understanding. Entering into this relationship and accepting the ring of engagement before you even get to the marriage, you have to be willing to understand each other. And that's something that we talked about a little bit during the marriage retreat, about understanding and the need for building spiritual unity. Spiritual oneness. And so you understand that I can't fix you, and I'm not expecting you to fix me. But what we're going to do is grow together in God and allow God to instruct us and reveal to us as we're being open about things that we might like or dislike. We're understanding that this is a process and that God is moving and speaking and helping come that couple, that kingdom couple that will glorify him, that kingdom couple that others will look upon and be like, man, I don't know what they're doing, but I like it and I'm going to pay attention. I'm going to see if they can't help me. Now, by me, no means does this mean that your marriage is going to be perfect. You're going to have some ups and you're going to have some downs. But you're going to move forward with the mind that I'm going to take the time to try to understand the needs of my husband, understand the needs of my wife, and then together we're going to communicate and come together, reasoning together to get clarity about what God would have us to do. And then as you are growing together, the P is for peace. Sometimes you've got to say, I'm sorry. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. And don't say it like, yeah, I'm sorry. Don't give them that. I'm sorry, genuinely. There's some people in relationships and marriages. Every now and again, we run into somebody that's a know-it-all. They know, they think they know it all. And you can't tell them they're wrong. You can't tell them even if they, after they've been stepped in some poop, that their feet, that, you know, your shoes stink. No, it don't. That ain't me. Lift your shoe up. That's on your shoe. Oh, well, no, that's not what that comes. Just say, I'm sorry. Be willing to keep the peace. Be willing to keep the peace. Be willing to keep the peace. Just say, I'm sorry.
Then when we look at the L, that talks about loyalty. Loyalty, that's just showing your commitment to your spouse or to your mate. And it's a very important thing because that brings us back to the trust, the openness, and being able to have that closeness. That's showing that we're loyal to each other and being able to make that commitment.
Another thing is regarding loyalty. Often people, especially in the don't arrange you except the way they're willing to go through the process of becoming Mr. and Mrs. They want to hold on to their old baggage. When you're committing to your spouse and your desire is to be loyal to your spouse, that means that the junk got to go out. That means that the old suitcase with all the memories of past has to go out. It might mean, and when we talked about this in our Bible study this past week, about relationships and people that we're connected to, and how sometimes things of our past, even things of our present, can be very toxic, that we have to have the wisdom and the understanding and the knowledge, even the discernment, to make sure that we're ridding ourselves of anything that was hindering us from moving forward and being loyal in our relationship. And we eat. When we look at a couple that's entering in and exchanging the ring and experiencing love the way God intended, is esteem. Don't get your mate down. I hear a lot of people talk about, well, when I married you, you were a size 10, and now you're a size 16. I don't love you the same because you've gained weight. Or I can't do this with you now because you used to wear your hair long and now you cut your hair short, and I don't like for you to have short hair. Or for women, we look at our husbands and, oh, you used to have this big body and you used to be muscular and you used to be so fine, and now you got this gut and now your hairline is receding. And we talk all these things and we're beating each other down, and we're not doing
this is stuff that really should not even matter. Love is not just about your physical appearance. Love is about matters of the heart. And when you understand that God has brought you together, God has brought you together. God didn't say, look, you're going to marry them and they're going to look the same now until the day they die. He didn't say that. That is not even a part of the plan. That just does not even make sense. But what he's saying is that, look, regardless as to how they change, whatever happens, you still love the same way you still honor the commitment. You still honor what it is that you did in coming together, exchanging the ring, making the vow. You still do that and honor God in your marriage. With this ring is not just about getting a new piece of jewelry. It's not just about having a big party where we invite a lot of people and we want people to come with influence, with hopes that they're going to give us nice gifts. It's not about a lavish honeymoon. It's not about now we're putting together all of our assets and we're going to buy this huge house on the hill and we're going to trade in our little cars and get a brand spanking new big car. It's not about any of those things. It's about glorifying God and understanding the commitment that God is requiring, because you said, I do. And that's why we tell couples, this is not something that you into lightly. This is not something that you rush into. This is not something for women to say, oh, my time clock is ticking, so I better hurry up and get married. No, that's not the reason that you hurry up and get married. You marry when it's God's time. Because anything that you're supposed to have, anything that's yours, is still going to be yours. But do it in God's time and do it the way that God would have you do it. What do you have to add, honey?
You know, I always just think about, as you was talking about self-worth, we must be able to speak godly words. You know, Proverbs 18:21 tells us that death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. So speaking positive, well, I won't even say positive, mm-hmm. godly words to one another, helping to build each other as in the kingdom and stop turn each other down. That's very important, because self-worth, you can destroy someone's self-worth just by certain things that you say or even things that you do. Knowing and embracing self-worth, you know, sometimes we look at it and feel that women may need that more, but men need that as well, is to be able to understand that they are fearfully and wonderfully made, and God didn't make a mistake, and that we need to respect each other and treat each other as God would have us to do. But that's one of the things that I want to bring out, is that we must be strong in working with each other and just demonstrating that we are all fearfully and wonderfully made, as I indicated, and that's the way we show respect to each other.
Amen. We do have several callers on the line on this evening. There's a question or a comment. We ask that you press 1, and we'll gladly bring you live to hear your perspective of what marriage is. I know so many people, yeah, I do. I know so many people who are struggling right now with a marriage. And when you question, is this something that God ordained or something that you wanted for yourself? And when you ask that question, they get a little, ugh, because generally it's not what God did, it's what they did. And now they're dealing with the consequences of their choices. And it's not always pleasant. But again, if there are any questions or comments, please press 1 and we will gladly bring you live to hear your question or your comment regarding the vows and the importance of understanding marriage in this season now more than ever before. Husband, I think we do pretty good for marriage. Not that I'm both in marriage before. We learned the lessons that we needed to learn from the past, and now with the wisdom and knowledge that we've received from the Holy Spirit, we're able to move forward in a way now that we've never done before. We have a better understanding of who we are as individuals, first and foremost, and that aids us in knowing how to treat each other in ways that God would be pleased with. Would you agree?
Yes, I do agree with that. The other point that I always make, and if we're counseling, especially young ladies or women, I like to always bring this up because Proverbs 18:22 in the New King James Version says, "He who finds a wife finds a good thing and obtains favor from the Lord." Now, a godly man will look for a godly wife.
Mm-hmm.
That's how that works.
Right.
That's not going to say that a man who finds a wife, if you're finding someone who is not equally yoked,
mm-hmm.
then
you're looking for trouble.
Then you're looking for trouble. Proverbs 18:22 is not applicable to that kind of situation.
Mm-hmm.
So a godly man who is looking for a godly wife will be equally yoked.
Mm-hmm.
And we were just in North Carolina
mm-hmm.
at the retreat this weekend,
mm-hmm.
and a man, explaining to us how he met
mm-hmm.
his wife, and his wife explaining how
they were drawn
together by the anointing,
but not seeking God.
And it's just important.
Yeah. That's a great example. There was a godly man who married an anointed woman of God, and they said together, "You're anointed, I'm anointed, we can come together because we're both anointed and we can do great things." Well, it's good that you're anointed. It's good that he was anointed. But God didn't tell y'all to get together with your little anointed selves and be husband and wife. Because once they did that, the anointing was attacked because they were out of order. They were trying to make a ministry about the covenant that was required for marriage. Now, the blessing is, in their parting, they're still able to be friends. They're still able to now flow in what God has called them to. But this was another example where they were going to marry with an expectation of growing a ministry, not realizing that marriage is a ministry. Outside of any platform that you could preach on, any engagement you could get, marriage is ministry that is ordained of God. I think when we did, last year when we did our relationship seminars, we made T-shirts for everyone. And we gave them out, and it was a husband on one side. It was a triangle, and then the husband and wife both on the bottom two corners with arrows going up, down, crossways. A marriage that is ordained of God. The husband and wife are going to communicate. They're going to grow together, and the closer they become together, the higher they go and the closer they get to God. Now, we how do you know when the relationship is ordained? There'll be a couple things. when my husband was just sharing with you about a man that time, that the wife findeth a good thing, a relationship that is ordained by God will come in that order, the man that finds the wife, the God-man that finds the God-woman. That's an indicator. Now, there might be times when men sometimes are as desperate as women to get married. And so a godly man will come to church and he'll see you and you doing great things, and he'll be like, okay, yeah, she at the church, she's serving on the missionary board, she did that and the third, that's it. You've got to begin to seek God. You've got to begin to pray. And because you have a relationship with God and you have an ear to hear what the Holy Spirit is saying, you'll know. You'll know that if it's God. Too often now, women are looking for their husbands. I don't know how many times we've gone somewhere, and I've been in a place where a good-looking man would walk in and four different women would be like, child, that's my husband. And they don't even know that he got a boyfriend. Come on. Just because he look good, you want to claim him. You have praying and seeking God in this the same way you do in anything. You've got to know that it's God. Benny and I share our stories, our story about coming together, and God did it quickly. But both of us were in a place where we had learned some lessons, and we were in a place where we were ready to fulfill the things that God has called us to. And my husband would not have been my likely pick back in the day, but my husband is everything that I need and everything that God would have for me to help me be what he's called me to be. When you're with the person that God has ordained, you begin to function and to flow in purpose like never before. Like never before. The sun will shine even when it's raining outside when you're with the right one. I'm just saying, there are ways that you know, but it really comes in your word and really fine-tuning your ear to hear what God has to say. And let me just help y'all. Sometimes the very one that's for you, we sometimes will try to push that one away because it doesn't fit what we want. But God can't always give us what we want, because what we want ain't always the right thing, ain't always what's good for us. And y'all forgive my bad language with the ain't word, but I'm just saying, we have to be willing to receive what God has for us. We have to be willing to receive what God has for us. May not be what we pick. May not be what we like. May not be. And you'd be like, well, God, can they at least look good? He said, if you don't like how they look right now, work on it. Work on it together. Work on it together. When I married my husband, honey, what did I do with you? What did I do with your wardrobe when we first got married?
Changed it.
I changed it. I was like, honey, no, you looking like the old, no. We changed some things. My husband likes me with hair, and I love short hair, but what did I do? I let my hair grow because that's what he wanted. And we were growing together, learning each other, glorifying God with our union, being mindful that we were to be loyal, that we were building a closeness, that we were being open with each other, we were being understanding with each other, we were maintaining the peace. We'd say, I was sorry. Even if you didn't really think that you did anything wrong, you say, I'm sorry. And we were being loyal to each other, which meant that we were putting old stuff behind us and not going back and digging it up. And we were building each other up to ensure that we were going to be the best that we could be, not just for each other, but the best we could be, glorifying God in all aspects of our lives and especially in our marriage. Amen. Do you have something else you wanted to share, honey? Amen.
what I wanted to share was as I travel and, you know, more involved in what God would have me to do, I heard this all the time from male and female bishops, apostles, pastors, evangelists. They always say, you know what? I knew that I was ordained to do this work, but I just kept on. I said, no, God, I'm not going to do that. That's not what you want me to do. Running from God. And sometimes in connections, in our relationships, we see we run away from the person that is the best for us. Like God is everything that we need. And sometimes we run away from those folks that what really that we should have in our life. So we push them aside. And, you know, sometimes you might get a second chance, and then sometimes not. In our case, I got that second chance at 19 years old, you know, before I even was in any relationships. I knew, and I said, that's the one. But I took off and went on doing other things, as people do. You don't get second chances all the time. In this case, again, you know, that's the only analogy I can give. I don't know if it's good or not, how people say they're running from God. And then eventually, you know, you'll see them ministering, pastoring churches and things like that. And maybe even their friends out of their past will say, or their parents, or their someone will say, you know what, I knew there was something different about you. I knew that you was going to do that. But the person didn't know they was going to do it. At least subconsciously, they had buried it back in their mind, and they end up becoming, you know, ministers, which we all are ministers of reconciliation. I'm just saying, but becoming a bishop or apostle, these things have already been ordained, and so what we have to do is learn how to be patient, and we need to. But those are things that we need to teach and teach our kids about relationships. And the first relationship is a godly relationship, and understanding how, you know, how God has placed everything strategically in motion for us to have good relationships and do the things that we need to do to make sure that when we get involved in a relationship, it is definitely, when we're talking about a marriage, going to be forever, but we have to get into a godly relationship in order for that to take place.
That's good, hon. And often, you know, when we talk about with this ring, when the word says to become one, I hear people talking about your half and my half, and together we make one. No, to become one. All of who I am and all of who Benny is, we became and are and will continue to be one in the things of God, one in all things, so much so that he could speak for me and I could speak for him and it would be okay, because we are one, and because of our obedience to what God said, coming husband and wife, it's now opened up opportunity for our truth to be revealed and for us to operate in that which God ordained. And again, it flows so easily. We're not tugging at it anymore. We're not running from it anymore. We're embracing who we are, who God created us to be, and we were able to fulfill it by obeying God and being husband and wife. So when we look at this with this ring, there's a lot to be considered. For those of you who are seeking marriage, I plead with you
to find the right godly counsel. Don't just accept the ring and be willing to move into a marriage. You've not gotten a complete understanding of what it is that's required with receiving this ring, this symbol of an undying and an unfailing love. And for those of you who are married and you may be struggling, again, seek counsel. Don't try to just figure this out yourself. Don't be content with you sleeping in one room and him sleeping in another. Don't be content with you passing each other in the hallways of the house and you're not speaking. Don't be content with any of that. Don't let the sun go down. Don't let this night end and you don't come to the table and begin to communicate. Open up the lines. Embrace. And allow God to aid you in restoring that which he intended to be a good thing. Now, if you know you're in a relationship that's not God ordained, let's talk about it. I'm for real. Y'all can call us. You can find us on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, Benny Burrell. Let's talk about this. Let's see where you are really and what God would have you to do. Wow, time has gone by. We thank you all so much for joining us this evening. We pray that something has been said to help you. And again, if there are other questions, find us on Facebook, Valerie Burrell, Benny Burrell. Find our page, The Empowerment Place, LLC. You can give us a call. Email us at empower_yourself@yahoo.com. We're here for you. We are here for you. We want you to have the best relationship possible, and we want you to have a prosperous, godly, loving, caring marriage. That's our desire because that's God's desire for each of us. Ah, for those of you who have prayer requests, we will be having prayer tomorrow morning at 5 o'clock a.m. You can send your prayer requests. Again, find me on Facebook, Valerie Burrell. Inbox your request, and we will gladly intercede on your behalf. Amen. If this broadcast is a blessing to you, consider sharing this message with your other friends or family. If you feel led to sow a seed into the ministry, go to our webpage, empowermentoasis@wordpress.com, and you can sow securely using PayPal. As always, we love you here at the Empowerment Place. It's our desire that every day you do something to empower yourself. But once you've been empowered, we want you to take the responsibility to empower someone else. We ask that you join us on Tuesday. I'm hopeful. I will have some members of the women's basketball team at Blue for a conversation of empowerment with women's sports in college. And then we'll be back again on next Sunday evening at 8 o'clock p.m. for another empowerment teaching. We say God bless you to each of you. We love you. Have an empowered week.